say in the beginning and the end.
Some people may leave in the middle. No.
When do you expect to be back?
I'm coming back the night of Tainus Esther. I'm going to be away for 2 weeks.
I noticed you're going to be, you're giving a shiur that night in Tainus Esther, not in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, yeah.
So we miss Purim, that's all.
No Purim this year.
Look about last year.
That's shady, you know?
Yeah. I'm not trying to know it anymore. I'm sorry. Yeah, maybe. This is good. It's hot. Mr. Danny Laufer told me that he had yahrzeit today for his mother. So yes, so we should dedicate the learning Lezecha Nishmas and Lezecha Nishmas Friday Bas Reb Meshulam. We left off last week by the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Zayin on the base. Kuf Zayin on the base. Spoke about Mitzvah Sedaim to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about Hilchas Basa B'Cholov. Mishnah says a person has, let's say, a salami, and he's traveling, and he has cheese, and he wants to wrap up the salami in a cloth and wrap up the cheese in the same cloth and put it in a suitcase. So the Mishnah says it's permissible. He's allowed to wrap it up in the same piece of cloth. You should be careful that the cheese and the salami shouldn't touch each other, because you're going to have some cheese on the flesh or flesh on the cheese. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Shnei Achzenoim Ochlam Al Shulchan Echod, Ze Bosa Ve Ze Gvino. He has a din, let's say the husband and the wife are both going to eat. The husband likes fleshiks and the wife likes milchiks. So they're going to eat on the same table. One is going to eat fleshiks, one our brother and a sister, whatever. So since they're friendly with each other, so we're concerned that maybe one of them is going to stick his finger in the other one's plate and take some of the cheese and eat it together with the flesh, or the other one's going to stick his finger in this plate and take some of the flesh and eat it with the cheese. So if one is eating flakes, one is eating milchik, so they have to, you have to have some kind of a hecker. So you have to either have if it's a tea kettle in the middle. If it's a tea kettle that you're pouring tea from, it's a teignish, so then it's a thing that you're going to use. If you're going to have a pitcher with orange juice in the middle, so they can use the pitcher with the orange juice. You have to have a flower pot that you're not going to use, or you have to have a pitcher that's empty that you're not using, or you have a different tablecloth. To know that there's a differentiation over here. There's a hecker. That's fleshiks and that's milchiks, and we shouldn't mix them up together. So the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, what if you have two achzenoim? One came from America, one came from France, and they're both eating in a restaurant in Eretz Yisrael. They don't even know each other. They're sitting on the same table. They have nothing to do with each other. So since they're not so friendly, they'll strike up the conversation, but they're not so friendly, so there's no chashash that I'm going to take part of his flesh, he's going to take part of my milchiks and eat it. We're not friendly. So Shimon Gamliel is telling you the exception to the rule. The rule is that two people who are friendly with each other, not allowed to have fleshiks and milchiks on the same table, unless you have a hecker. But over here, if they're achsanoim, they're tourists, they're just visiting here, they don't really know each other, so then there's no chashash, then you don't need any hecker. So the Gemara comments on the reisha of the Mishnah. The pasuk only prohibits basa b'cholov if it's lo sevashel gedi, if you cook the flesh and the milk. If you eat fleshiks and milchiks at the same time, that's mutar min hatorah. That's only awesome at the rabban.
Only bishul.
Only derech bishul. Right. So the Gemara is bothered with the kasha. It says in the Mishnah, you're allowed to wrap up the salami. You have a long piece of cloth. You're allowed to wrap up the salami, and then you're going to wrap up the cheese in the same piece of cloth, provided that they don't touch each other. Frag the Gemara. What's the terrible tragedy? Even if they are touching each other, so what? Everything is cold, so what's the problem? There's no iser. And for the Gemara, there's no iser deraisa, but there's a problem. There's an iser derabana. If you would have, let's say, a hot piece of steak that was just cooked, and you have hard cheese on the table, and you put the burning hot steak on top of the cheese, so then the burning hot the cheese will melt. Okay. So the fleshig flavor is going to go in, let's say you have a thin slice of hard cheese. So the fleshig flavor is going to go into the thin slice of cheese. So you can't eat it. You can't wash it off. You can't wash off the flavor. Flavor is going to be balu if it's hot. the bottom layer, the kedei klipa, the bottom layer of the steak, also you have to cut off because it's burning hot, so it's going to be a blia from the cheese. But the upper half of the steak, let's say it's a thick steak, an inch thick, so the upper half is going to be kosher. So Abai says over here on the Mishnah, he over here everything is cold. He's going to travel, so he wants to have a salami. When he travels, he wants to have sometimes hard cheese. He wants to have sometimes salami. So he wraps up the salami in the hard cheese, and they are going to be touching each other. So the Mishnah says, "Toiknish, you're not allowed to do it." So Abai says, "Nehi the klipa lo boi, if they'll be touching each other, tzaynen b'tzaynen." Nothing will become so trafe that you have to scrape off a kedei klipa and throw it out in the garbage. You have to, kedei klipa means to cut off a whole layer, but you have to wash it off. If they're cold and they're touching each other, so there's going to be a little bit of the flesh is going to get stuck on the cheese. If you wash it off, it'll be kosher. Wash it off, it'll be mutter. So the Mishnah tells us, you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to have the hard cheese with the salami touching each other, because you'll have to wash it off later, and you may forget to wash it off. But b'di'evin, if they were touching, and everything is cold, and then you wash it off, then it'll taka be kosher, there won't be a problem. Sometimes we assume that even washing off isn't going to help. Take, for example, when you go to the fish store, so in Washington Heights, so the fish store sells kosher and non-kosher fish. So as it happens, in most fish stores, the goyim have nothing to do with the Judaism or kashrus. The goyim are very makbid not to mix the flavors of the different fish. So if they'll cut the non-kosher fish, they'll wash off the knife 100 times before they're going to use that same knife to cut a kosher fish. And they always put a different piece of paper. They're very makbid for business reasons. I don't know exactly why. They're makbid to see to it that there shouldn't be any flavoring from the one fish into the other fish. So let's say if they wouldn't have been makbid, if they're not makbid, so you got to cut, let's say they cut a treif of fish with a sharp knife, and they're not going to wash off the knife. Let's say, for argument's sake, they're going to use the knife to cut kosher fish, and then everything is tzayne b'tzayne, and everything is cold. So strictly speaking, all you have to do is wash it off. So the Shach writes in Yeridaya, it's not going to work, because the schmaltz from the treif of fish is going to get stuck on the kosher fish. You won't succeed in washing it off just by holding it under a flow of cold water. You have to scrape off the whole surface. It's going to be less than kedei klipa. If you have a burning hot steak, that's fleishig, and you put it on the hard cheese, so then a kedei klipa means you have to cut off a layer of the, let's say you have a whole bar of hard cheese, American cheese. So you have a whole bar, and you have a whole inch thick of a fleishig steak. So if it's burning hot, one of them is burning hot, so it's going to make a blia kedei klipa. So kedei klipa doesn't mean you take a knife and you scrape off a little bit of scrapings from each one, from the hard cheese and from the steak. You have to cut off so much that if you would hold it up, it would hold together. That's called kedei klipa. A quarter of an inch or something. Not just to scrape off what's on the surface, but over here... Let's say if you cooked the treifa meat with kosher meat together in the same pot, and there's reitiv and there's soup, so you cooked it for a while, so then we assume the blia goes through and through, not just for the outer kedei klipa. If you just put fleishig on top of milchik and it's burning hot, then we say the blia will only be kedei klipa. So if you have to cut off that amount at kedei klipa. The kedei klipa is more than stump scraping. So the Shach in Yeridaya writes like that. He thinks that if you have the schmaltz from the treifa fish on the knife, and you're going to use it to cut the kosher fish, usually they don't do like that in the fish stores. So then he thinks you'll need more than hadocha. Washing off isn't going to help. You have to scrape off a layer, but it's going to be less than kedei klipa. So that's what Abai explains in the Mishnah. A hard piece, yeah. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah has a chumra that if you ate hard cheese that was aged for 6 months or more, then you're supposed to wait 6 hours in order to have fleishig. So, what they call American cheese, it's a hard chunk of cheese, but that's not called hard cheese. Yeah.
Let's say we have on the stove a milchige part is cooking and a fleishige part is cooking. Is the steam from the two parts can touch each other?
The steam will be a problem. There's a Gemara in the first parak of Masechus Avodah Zarah where the Gemara says that you'd never go to the city where they have an inn, where they have Jewish businessmen and non-Jewish businessmen come from out of town, and they have a stove, and the Jewish man will cook his pot with kosher food with a lid on it, no steam going out, and the non-Jew will cook his pot of chaza next to it, and the pots will be touching each other, and there's no problem, there's no issue. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you see from that Gemara, that a blia doesn't go from one pot to the other. In that choshesh, the blia goes through from the inside of one pot through into the inside of the other pot, unless there's reitev on the outside, unless there's a little moisture, water on the outside, even though the pots are touching. So that says in Yerideya, if the Gemara says minigetif kosher and treif, so same minigetif fleishig and milchig. If you have, let's say, two pipes, sometimes in factories you have like that, you have two pipes that a mom is touching, one is touching the other. One pipe has burning hot milk going through, the other pipe has burning hot fleishig going through. So it says, and there's no reitev in between, there's dust in between, but there's no liquid on the outside. So that says in Yerideya that that's mutar lechatchila. Some achrayim are machmal lechatchila, but the Yerideya says that it's mutar lechatchila. Ein b'loy yetsim mikli lekli b'loy reiter. The blia doesn't go from one kli to the other, unless you have, you're saying the steam is mixing. Let's say you take off the lids, and sometimes you have a hood on top of the stove, so the steam flies up from the fleishig one, then it goes into. Sometimes it gets bounced down into the milchik. Or the steam can go up and the milk can bounce down into the fleshy. So then you're going to have problems. But if you don't have a hood and the steam just flies out, so it's not going to bounce back down into the kosher pots of food, then the fact that the pots are even touching does not pose a problem.
But what's different about this fish case that you can't just wash it off? How is it different than the Gemara case?
The Shach thinks that the fish has schmaltz that cannot be washed off just by rinsing. The schmaltz is going to stick. The schmaltz from the trefa fish that's on the surface of the knife is going to get stuck on the schmaltz of the kosher fish, and you won't be able to get it off unless your mom scrape off the surface.
Is it because of the knife or because it's specifically fish?
No, because schmaltz. The greasy stuff is not going to get washed off with water. If you have chicken, let's say you have a piece of meat that's touching the cheese, everything is cold. So you rinse it off and you see that there's nothing there. You rub it with your hands. You feel on the outside of the meat, on the outside of the hot cheese, that there's no particles from the other one there. But if you have fish, everything is greasy. Everything is oily. So there's no way to remove it without actually scraping. So now the Gemara comments on Rav Shimon Gamliel. There's a rule and an exception to the rule. The rule is if you have two people who are friendly with each other, brother and a sister, husband and a wife. One is having pleasure, one is having milchigs. They shouldn't eat at the same table without a hecker to remind them that they shouldn't nibble off of each other. And unless it's achsanayim, they don't know each other, so then there's no problem. Zog di Gemara, Amar Avchana Barami, Amar Shmuel Oshana Valashem, Akirim Zezeh, Rav Shimon Gamliel, what do you mean, shnei achsanayim? Two guests in a motel. So he says it means that they don't know each other. They have no shaykhas with each other. Avol makirim zeh zeh. But if you have two achsanoim, they're cousins. They live in two different parts of the world. And now they're all meeting together in Yerushalayim. They're all achsanoim here. No, but if they know each other, they're friendly with each other, taignish, then it'll be awesome. Zog di Gemara, Tanya Rami Hochi, there's a brisa that says beferish what Shmuel said, the kula, Rav Shimon Gamliel, is because the achsanoim don't know each other. So the brisa spells it out. They both are visiting the same hotel, the same inn, whatever. One comes from the northern part of Eretz, one comes from the southern part of Eretz. He has a piece of flesh. He came with his hot cheese. You don't have to have a hecker, you don't have to have the flower pot to meet when you don't need different tablecloths and so on. But the only time it'll be prohibited for them to eat is betvisa achas. What do you mean betvisa achas? In fact, the Gemara, tvisa achas, what do you mean? You're mixing and mamish together? You're mixing the flesh with the cheese together? So the Gemara, ela kein tvisa achas. What do you mean kein tvisa achas? If there's a chashash, how does Rashi say? if it's betvisa, if the two are touching each other, literally tvisa achas, so it's a davar pashut. Of course, you're not allowed to eat anymore. It says no, ki ain tvisa achas. Whenever there's a chashash that they're going to nibble from each other, so then it's prohibited. That's gain tvisa achas.
Krachechad,
yeah, touching each other. When the flesh and the cheese are touching, the Gemara said pshita. You don't need a brisa to tell you that. Gemara says no. Kein tvisachas, but there's a hashash that they know each other, and they may nibble from each other.
Is it a problem when you have these community sukkahs? Families come down. We'll put these in the dalaramas, and the sukkah. Possibility.
And one is having flesh and one is having milkheads. Yeah, we're not that friendly.
But there could be that they have separate tablecloths.
I mean, if they're both eating on the same table, if they're eating on two different tables.
No, same table. I'm going to talk about the Lower East Side. You had these big sukkahs. You have four families on one table.
Yeah, usually each one has a different colored tablecloth, so that'll remind them not to nibble from each other. Yeah. If they're friendly, they all live in the same building, so they are friendly, so they probably would not be makpid if someone would take a piece of chicken and someone would take a piece of cheese. If they live in the same building, so they're friendly. So then you have to talk and have different type of clothes, okay?
Professor, I've seen people have a different tablecloth for fleishiks than for milkiks.
Right.
Say there's only one person eating it, only one person lives in the house, so they have a fleishiks for when they're eating fleishiks, and the milkiks,
right.
Do they need to have such a thing?
You're concerned that there may be a particle of flesh that got on the tablecloth. So if he's going to have milchiks on the same tablecloth, so he may by mistake nibble a particle of flesh that was left over from the last meal. So that's a minik to have different tablecloths for fleshiks and for milchiks.
So it's just a minik, right?
It's a nice minik. It makes sense. It's a nice minik because when you clean up after you finish eating, sometimes you do leave a tiny particle that you didn't notice, you didn't realize. Some people don't always clean up after they finish eating. Some people who do clean up don't notice. They don't notice everything. So they made a mistake, leave a particle.
Yeah. Rabbi Shekhar, let me ask you. If, let's say you do akshisa, you know, a laundry. And you have towels, milchdiki, towels, and you have flesh, and you're cooking, you need two different Can you mix it in the kisha?
We usually insist on having different dish towels to dry the fleshik dishes, to dry the milchik. Why do you need different dish towels? Because when we wash the dishes, we're not so convinced that we do such a good job. So there may be a little grease left on the fleshik dish. So we're going to wipe it off with the fleshik towel. And if we're going to use the same towel to dry off the milchik dish, so we may wipe some of the schmaltz from the fleshik dish towel onto the milchik dish. And the meaning is you have different dish towels. So now the shaila is that you have to wash them and the wash in a different load. Is there an issa? So, is there an issa bishel basa b'cholav? No. There's going to be shishim against it. So there's no bishel basa b'cholav. Is it going to make, one is going to make the other one treifa, going to make it milchik? No, you're cleaning it out now. There's no problem. Yeah. You have detergent. Everything's going to be nice and tamal of gun. That's not a problem, washing it together. But you should really have different dish towels for the fleshy dishes, for the milchik dishes, because we're not so convinced that we do such a good job in washing off the dishes. So that's in Shulchan Aruch, to have these minhagim, to have different tablecloths, to have different dish towels.
Soap, different colors.
Right. Right, right. Right.
So despite the fact that
it's bitul b'shishim, if you're washing them in the laundry at the same time, so then there's no problem. It's going to be so much water. It's going to be a ton of water. How much schmaltz, how much particles of the fleshiks of the milchas could be there already? Very little bit. And you're going to have detergent, and you're going to have so much water, it's going to be bitul b'shishim, there won't be a problem. So you're allowed to wash them in the same load of wash, that's not a problem. But if you have a dish towel that you use for milchik dishes, or use for fleshik dishes, it's not right to use it for the opposite, to dry the other ones, because there may be some particles on that'll be wiped off on the other one, on the other dish. So now the Gemara has a shaila. This cooler, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, that if the two people who are eating on the same table don't have any shaychas with each other, so then there's no chashash. So unfortunately, sometimes you have brothers who don't talk to each other. Yeah, mamish relatives that don't talk to each other. So the Gemara has a shaila. Amalei Rav Yema Bashalmi Ale Abaye, what's the din? Shnei Achim, they know each other, they know who they are, but they're angry. Whatever, they divided up the Yerusha, they're angry. Makpidim Zalzeh, they don't talk to each other. I would never nibble from his, and he would never nibble from mine. So what's the din? Mahu, do you treat them like Shnei Achsenoim, who don't know each other? Because they don't get along with each other, so they're allowed to have places on the same table. They're not friendly. Or they say, no, brothers are brothers, even though they hate each other for years. They haven't spoken, it's still us. Amalei. So Abaye answers, I think that it's us. Why? Yomru. So because you're going to leave. Lansata de Baracha Lashiurim. How are you going to determine when it's us? So you have to make a loy plug. Whenever you make a gzera de Rabbanan, you can't leave up. You can't leave the din up to each individual person to determine whether the gzeira applies in this instance or not. How friendly are we? Oh, we don't talk to each other. We're angry the last month. For 70 years we got along, now the last month we don't talk. Or we haven't spoken for 70 years. So how angry are we with each other? So that's what we call a leiplug rabbanon. So the Gemara, Abai, has an expression for that. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Pesachim that there's a gzeira de rabbanon. When you make cookies for Pesach, you see, we make cookies at home. We make cookies from matzah mel. So matzah mel, you can mix flour with water, matzah mel with water, and let it sit all day long. It's not going to turn into chametz. The matzah mel was baked already. So the Mishnah says, whatever is already offui, the matzah was baked already, so it's not bodeh dechimetz. The Hasidim are makbid not to have gebroks, because they're concerned, in the Gemara it says that it's mutter. So they're concerned that maybe the matzahs, there's a Yeridus HaDoris, that maybe the Heilige matzahs in the days of the Heilige Tanoim and Amoraim, those matzahs were baked through and through. And today, maybe part of the matzah is still raw, maybe it wasn't fully baked. So that part that's raw, but it all dried out. It went through the oven and it's all dry. So it's not going to turn into chametz when it's in the box of matzahs. But maybe part of the dough is still raw. And the matzah, so if you dip it into the soup, you dip it into water, make it brok. So now it's raw dough, and now it's going to, if you leave it for 18 minutes, it'll tick away and it'll turn into chametz. So by the Hasidim, they're makbid on gebroks. But let's say, years ago in the days of the Gemara, they didn't have such an einhal to have matzah mill. That Pesach digger flour. In the matzah factory, what do they make the matzahs from? They don't make matzahs from matzah mill. They make matzahs from Pesach digger flour. You have wheat, and they grind up the wheat and make flour. They mix the flour with water, and they don't let it sit for an hour. They bake it quickly, and the whole process takes less than 6 minutes, I think. The whole thing takes very brief. If it's hand shmur, it takes longer. If it's machine shmur, it takes much less. Machine shmur is much faster. So the Tanoim say, when you have flour, Pesach digger flour, see, all the flour that they have in America now, you can't bake matzahs from that flour. All the flour we have is bleached. They cleaned it. They rinse off all of the grain with water. They washed it all off. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to use that on Pesach, because we're concerned that maybe some of the kernels of grain were cracked on the outside, and maybe the water went in and maybe it became chametz. In recent years, many years already, for the last 500 years, so when they bleached the flour, so they soaked it, not just stam like in the days of the Gemara, they would rinse off the kernels of grain with water to wash off the dirt. So the clean matzahs, with lechatchil, you shouldn't have clean matzahs, because you're not supposed to wash off the kernels of grain. But if you made it, so nishgefel. But for the last 500 years, or 600 years or so, they don't just do it like that. They soak the kernels of grain for hours and hours, in order to remove all the dirt. So many of the Achronim from the 1500s, from earlier, they say this is worse than stam, what the Gemara talks about bleaching the kernels of grain. This is soaking in water for a longer time. So it's a bigger chashash chimutz. So in the days of the Gemara, let's say you have Pesach digger flour, and our flour, what we call kemach min hashuk, cannot be used to bake. If a person wants to make his own matzahs, you can't buy kemach min hashuk. You can't buy regular sack of flour, because all that flour is bleached and it's a hashash, a real chametz. In 50 years ago in Russia, in the little cities, not in the big cities, in the little villages, you can still get kemach min hashuk. Now, I don't even know if you can get it in the small villages of Russia. all the flowers probably bleach now. Maybe in other countries you can still get the flour that the grain was not bleached and it wasn't washed off at all. So let's say if you have such paste thicker flour and you want to mix it with water, bake it quickly so it shouldn't be boiled. You shouldn't let it sit for too long. It shouldn't turn into chametz. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to make sreken hametzu yorin. You're not allowed to make cookies with a design. Why? Because you have to first mix the flour with the water, let it turn into dough. And then you got to start, the balabasta is going to start fooling around, making a whole design, make a shape or something. So it's going to fool around. It's going to turn into chametz. It's going to, so that's what the Mishnah says. You're not allowed to do sreken hametzu yorin at Pesach. She'isha shoy aleha. The woman is going to take her time. Umach mitzason. The stuff is going to turn into chametz. So there was a baker in the days of the Tanoim whose name was Baisis ben Zainan. And he had a shape, like today, they have cookie shapes when you want to make cookies with a heart, with an automobile, with a face, a smiley face, whatever. So he would need quickly, he didn't have a machinery, he would need quickly the dough, mix the flour with the water, have dough. And then he would take this shape, the form, and he would make 1, 2, 3, he would make all these shapes, and he would succeed in baking the cookies that had the fancy designs in less time than the balabasta would take to make plain cookies without any design. So he asked the shayla of the chachamim, am I allowed, Baisis ben Zainan had a shayla, am I allowed to make sreken hametzu yorin? Am I allowed to make cookies that have designs? Because by me it goes 1, 2, 3, it goes so quickly there's no chashash. So the Tanoim gave him the answer, no, we wouldn't permit that. It's going to be Nesata de Berachal Ashiurim. So every baker will think that it's mut, and every balabasta will think, well, I know how to do it also without a shape, without a cookie shape. So that's why they prohibit it. That's loy plug rabbanon. Usually when you make a gzera de rabbanon, ruba de ruba, you make a loy plug rabbanon. So the answer was given, yomru people velan zogun. People will say, kol asreken asurin. Asreke baisis matorin. People will say, anybody else is not allowed to make cookies with the design, only Baisis is mutter. So the Olam won't understand it. So you can't have a psak like that. That for some people it's also some people it's mutter. You have to make a loy plug rabban. So that's what Abai says over here. Normally brothers do get along with each other. If you have a rare instance where the brothers, their close relatives, don't get along, you can't say that they don't need a hecker, that they're allowed to eat on the same table because they don't talk to each other. The people won't understand. If you have shnei achsenayim, if you have two people from different parts of Eretz Yisrael, zebom and atzaf, zebom and adam, they don't know each other, that's mutter. But if you have people who do know each other, and they're supposed to be friendly, and it happens b'mikra that they're not friendly, you can't be mekel.
Frank, he mentioned in Gemara Saita Baisus, he did zachal tov, zachal ra, so he has some kind of an expertise mentioned.
I don't remember. In Ezel Neshech, they quote something that he asked the Shaila. He's mentioned every so often for other things, not only for his baking talents. He's mentioned for other things as well. Could be it's in Saita too. I don't remember. Freg de Gemara, is that really true? That you always make a loy plug rabbanon? In all cases, Freg de Gemara, if that is true, what do you do with the following din? It's prohibited to wash laundry on Chol HaMoed. Why is it also? So the din is Chol HaMoed. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to wash laundry. That's one of the 39 malachas, malabin. The original malabin is, the Mishnah in Shabbos lists off the 39 prohibited malachas. So it says you're not allowed to shecht an animal. And then if someone shecht an erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to remove the skin from the animal. And let's say, to shear the wool off, and let's say you have a living animal, to shear the wool off of an animal is gozes. That's a malacha. And then when you shear off the wool, let's say someone cut off the wool on Erev Shabbos, so the wool is filthy. The behemah rolls in the dirt. So you're not allowed to be malabin. You're not allowed, lovin is white. You're not allowed to white. You're not allowed to wash out the dirty wool. And washing clothing is under there, is part of that malacha malabin. You're not allowed to wash dirty clothing on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malabin. On Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do malabin. All the malachas carry over, unless it's a heterach on nefesh. Chol HaMoed also, all the malachas from Shabbos and Yom Tov carry over to Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed has a whole list of kulas. So one of the many kulas of Chol HaMoed is, if you're doing the malacha l'tzarech HaMoed, let's say you're going to go shopping on Chol HaMoed because you need food for the last days of Yom Tov. So that you're allowed to do. That you're allowed to do. So let's say the person has dirty laundry, or let's say the person needs a haircut. So he wants to go take haircut Chol HaMoed. So you're not allowed to take haircut on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take haircut on Yom Tov. There's gozeis. So you shouldn't be allowed to take haircut chalamite either. But if he really needs a haircut, so that's one of the five heterim. The five heterim chalamite. Tzara chalamite, he needs a haircut, or his clothing is dirty, so he has to wash his clothes. So the Tanoi made a special gzeira. You're not allowed to take a haircut on chalamite, and you're not allowed to wash laundry on chalamite, even though it is l'tzara chalamite. Why did they prohibit it? Because they were concerned that people have to work for a living, so people all year long are busy, they have no time to take a haircut. Chalamite, they can't go to work anyway, you're not allowed to do malach on chalamite, so they'll save the haircut till chalamite. So sometimes you really need a haircut, you look awful, and you're going to enter yantav, shalei yikonis l'yantav, kishuhu menuvol. Or sometimes his clothing is really dirty, and he should really wash the clothing, and he doesn't have time. He works for a living, he works all day. So he's got, and chalamite, he takes off from the work, so he's going to save all the laundry for chalamite, and he's going to save the haircut for chalamite. So he's going to enter yantav, kadesh shalei yikonis l'yantav, l'regel kishuhu menuvol. So they made a gzera derabanan. You're not allowed to take care of chalamite even if you need it, even though minatar it's mutter tzar chalamite, and you're not allowed to wash any laundry on chalamite. So the Gemara frekta kasha, unless the Mishnah has, unless the person was oynis the muchach, unless it's an oynis, the Mishnah has, let's say the person was in prison. In a prison, in days of the Tanaim, they didn't have any barber. The guy was let out of prison, he looks like a nazir. He was in prison a couple of months, and he needs a haircut. They let him out on prison on Chalamot. Let's say a guy was in the hospital, he was sick. The guy was on a boat. So in the days of the Tanaim, when a boat was going for weeks and weeks, for months and months on the ocean, so there were no barbers on the boat. So he finally comes to dry land on Chalamot. So he needs a haircut, or his clothing is filthy. He was in prison. So he comes out of prison, Hatanish Kembrera. So all the people in the neighborhood are familiar with his case, with his story. They all know he just got out of prison. They all know he just came out of the hospital. He just came to Medina Sayam on the boat. So if it's an oynus, the muchach, an oynus that everybody in the neighborhood knows about, so then there's no gzeira derabbah. But if it's an oynus, that's not muchach. So the Gemara has a shayla. He could have taken a haircut on Erev. He planned to take a haircut on Erev Yontov. He needed a haircut. And then somebody was sick in his family. One of the children was sick. So he was running around from the hospital to the other hospital. He was busy all day. He just made it by the skin of his teeth. He just got back Erev Yontov. He just made it. And now he looks awful. He planned to take a haircut in the morning. And then someone took sick or something came up. He had to go to the bank. The checks were bouncing. Whatever. There was something irregular. He had to spend the whole day in the bank till he straightened out the mess. And then it comes Chalamite. He needs a haircut. He has to wash his clothes. So he was honest. He wasn't able to do it on Erev Yontov. But not all the people in the neighborhood know his personal story that he had an oynus. So then the Gemara says, we would not be mekel. It's only muta if it's an oynus the muchach. Only if it's an oynus that everybody knows about. That's why Moshe Feinstein writes in his Tshuvas, what about shaving a Chalamite? So the Gzer der Rabbanan against not taking a haircut on Chalamite, Kadesh Lay Khanis Lregal Chumanuval, so Tosis says doesn't only apply to haircuts, it applies to the beard as well. You shouldn't trim the beard, you shouldn't take a haircut on, you shouldn't take a shave on a chalamite. So Moshe Feinstein says, what if people in the neighborhood know that I shave all the time? I'm always clean shaven. So Erev Yantav, I went to Shul Leil Yantav, everybody sees I'm clean shaven. Everybody looks at everybody else, everybody's clean shaven. Comes chalamite. So Ramosha says that Tzanoin is the Muchach. Everybody knows that you couldn't have shaved the hair that didn't grow yet. You couldn't have done anything on Erev Yontov that's going to prevent you from needing a shave on Yontov. So Ramosha writes, Amikredin is probably mutter to take hair, kind of mutter to take a shave on Chalamite for those who shave all the time. But he recommends you should be Machmer because traditionally they never used to allow shaving on Chalamite. Yeah, because they didn't shave like we do today. They used to trim the beard, so they should have trimmed the beard on Erev Yontov. He trimmed the beard on Erev Yontov. How bad is it going to look already by the end of Yontov? Says Nishgefella. So that's where Moshe ends off at the end of the tshuva. Even though strictly speaking, as mutter, one should be machmer. So Rav Soloveitchik said no. He said if it's mutter, it's mutter. What do you mean machmer? It's against the din. You're not allowed to go around looking manuva machalamite. If you have a heter to shave, you have a heter to take a haircut. So you should use the heter. Why is it considered a midas chasidus? You should be machmer not to shave. So Rav Soloveitchik used to shave when he used to have. He only had a goatee and he used to shave on the sides. He used to shave on chalamite because that idea that Rav Moshe develops in the beginning of the tshuva. That's called the noin as the muchach. See, the Gemara has a discussion. If you always say that all the gzeres the rabbanon, you make a loy plug rabbanon, and you're not allowed to wash clothing on Chol HaMoed, Freg de Gemara, Velitamech, the second line from the bottom, Hon Damar Rabasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, they quote the name Rabbi Yochanan, the person only has one shirt. Not that he has a lot of shirts. So let him wash all the shirts on every Yontif, and he'll have enough every day of Yontif. He'll have enough shirts. He only has one shirt to his name. So he wore it in the beginning of Yontif. Then he had to Kembrari. He has to wash the shirt in the middle of Chol HaMoed. I can't wear the same shirt. It gets filthy. So he says, you're allowed, Mishen la lachalukecho, the last line on all days, he only has one shirt. Muta lachapsa b'chol HaShemad. You're permitted to wash the shirt in Chol HaMoed. So the question is, why? Because by him, it's an oinus. He had no brera. He washed the shirt on Erev Yontif and he wore it Leil Yontif, it was clean. Now it got dirty in Melech Alman. He has no other shirts. Otanish Kem Brera. Freg de Gemara, why don't you say Yomru Kol Asreken Asur and Asreken Baisis Mutorin? Why don't you say the same logic? You should have made a Loi Plug Rabbanan. How can you say that for him it's Mutan and for everybody else it's Osa? Everybody will see him washing his shirt, so they'll all think you're allowed to wash clothing on Chol HaMoed. And for the Gemara, no. Hosam Hama Mabra Avashi. There we have a special reason. Mar Bar Avashi explains, Rabbi Yechana lived in Eretz Yisrael. Mar Bar Avashi lived in Bavel. But Mar Bar Avashi, who lived generations after, Rabbi Yechana was the first generation of Amorim. Rabbi Avashi was the end. Rabbi Avashi was the end of the Gemara. So he explained what Rabbi Yechana meant. Ezara Machia Cholov. When the guy's going to wash his shirt, he's going to be undressed till the waist. So the people are going to see that he's half naked. He's going to wash the shirt in the river, on the washing machine, whatever. So then it's like an oinus the muchach. Everybody sees it. The poor guy never has no, he only has one shirt. Like this, nobody's going to know how many shirts he has. When he has a dirty shirt, so he's going to wash his shirt at night, and then he'll dry off at night. And wear in the morning, they won't know. So Chol HaMoed, when he's going to wash it, he should wash it in public in such a way that it'll be half undressed till his waist, so that the people will see. He makes it into an oinus the muchach. If it's an oinus, then everybody in the neighborhood will realize that he was onus. He only has one shirt for haraya. He's not wearing a shirt now when he's washing it, so then it's mutter. That's usually the klal. Usually, most of the ruba of the gzeres the rabbanim were instituted as a loy plug rabbanim because of this reasoning. How can you say nasata the berachal ashir? You're going to leave it up to every Tom, Dick, and Harry to decide whether the chashash, whether the gzera applies to him or not. So they always had to make the gzeres with a loy plug rabbanim.
Nowadays, they always make shapes for cookies. For Pesach, the industrial cookies, the cookies that they make in large quantities. So why are they allowed to make them in
Pesach? They probably make it before Pesach. Huh? On Pesach, you're not allowed to make it. This there was not to make Srekanam Siyor on Pesach. They make it before Pesach, so you get, if you're careful, if you're careful, so then... Ours is matzah mel, could be. If it's made from matzah mel, there's no shayla at all. But even if it's made from regular Pesach bigger flour, I think there would also be room to be mekel. If you made it before Pesach, I don't know. It's an interesting
thing. Is there a low plug if it's potato starch as opposed to matzah mel or cake meal?
No. It says the bracha shahakol. It says potato starch. It says in big letters. No.
So I'm saying making the designs on the cookies. People are
going to
think
Mar Zion
that they make
me. People know that they only use potato starch and they only use matzah mel. People don't use today. In the factories, when they make the matzahs, there they use basic bigger flour. They don't use matzah. Yeah, if the factory uses matzah mel, then there's no shayla at all. Yeah. The next Mishnah is the beginning of Basa B'Cholov. The next Mishnah is Tipas Cholov. That is the famous topic of Basa B'Cholov. Basa B'Cholov deraisa only applies if the flesh and the milk were cooked together in such a way that one gives time in the other. Why does a person cook? Why would a non-Jew want to cook flesh and milk? He wants to have a flavor of the milk and the flesh. He wants to have a flavor of the flesh and the milk. So the understanding is it's only usur if it's derech bishul. If you mix together flesh with milk and it's cold, even though the flavors are blended together, that's no isa deraisa. And number two, it's only osam. It's only osir min haTorah. It's not even osam min rabbanan. If it gives an asinas tam, let's say you have a pot of flesh, and accidentally a drop of milk falls in, and you have shishim against the milk, and it will not succeed. We assume usually if you have 60 units of soup, moisture liquid, against the 1 unit of milk, of the drop of milk, so you probably will not taste the flavor of the milk and the flesh. So even though it's derech bisha, even though it's burning hot, that's not called derech bisha. Derech bisha means, number one, burning hot, as opposed to stam mixing together fleshiks and milchiks, and number two, succeeding in giving an asina stam. So the Mishnah has a case that's very obscure. Tipas chalb shenof, you have a pot of flesh cooking on top of the fire, and there's liquid to a certain point. And then you have, let's say, meatballs, or you have chunks of flesh. And a drop of milk falls on the top shtickel flesh. Tipas chalb, a drop of milk falls, alachaticha flesh on the top. So the Mishnah says you have to calculate whether you have shishim in the chaticha of flesh against the drop of milk. Why do you only calculate in that one chaticha? Why don't you calculate in the whole pot? So here there's a ganza machloikis in Yerideya. They discuss the machloikis Rashi and the Ri. Where is this chaticha's basar? You have piled up in the pot, you have liquid till here, and then this chaticha is above the top of the level of the liquid. It's above. What if it would be half in and half out? Part of the chaticha is not far-fetched. Yeah. Meatballs? Yeah. So part of the chaticha is below the surface of the liquid, and part of it is above. And the drop of milk falls on that meatball. So some Rishonim say, no, since the bottom of this meatball is submerged under the liquid, and it's all one meatball, it's all one unit of the meatball, so we have the right to assume that the tipas chalav that fell on top of that meatball will go through and through and be mispashet in the whole pot. And you assume you have way more than shishim, just one drop of milk, you have way more than shishim in the whole thing. Another Rishonim, so when does the Mishnah say that you have to have shishim in the meatball against the drop of milk, when the whole meatball is above the surface of the liquid? You have meatballs, pieces of flesh, whatever, chunks of flesh, and then there's a liquid till here. And then you have meatballs on top. So the tipas chala fell on top of the top meatball that is not submerged at all. It's completely above the level of the liquid. So then you have to be concerned that it may go through and through that chaticha. So then you need shishim in that chaticha. You cannot be mitzarf the shishim and the rest of the pot. So that's our shailan yerideya, how we should assume.
The meatballs were cooked, Rebbe, or they were cooking?
Cooking. They're now in the process of getting
cooked. Yet.
Yeah, it's in the process of getting cooked. Why? Why? Shaila vein bishalach habishol. That's a discussion in the commentaries on the Yerideya. Talk about that. In Hilchos Shabbos, there's a din that ain't bishalach habishol. If I take raw flesh and I cook it on Shabbos till I make it roi lachila, edible, so that's a malacha. That's one of the 39 malachas of bishol. What if I take flesh that is ready, fully cooked, out of the refrigerator, and I put it back on top of the fire on Shabbos, and that's only an isa derabbanan. That's not an isa deraisa. And with a blech, you have to have a lot of conditions when you permit hachazar, to put fully cooked food back on top of the fire. But menatara, the prohibition of bishol on Shabbos is only if the flesh is raw. If it's cooked already, so that's menatara and bishol achadish. You're just dealing with the rabbanan. So the achrayim have a discussion. What if I have flesh that was cooked already, and then I take milk and I reheat, I take the flesh that's fully cooked out of the refrigerator, I put it on top of the fire on a weekday, not on Shabbos, and I put in a little milk. Would that be an iser of bishol basa b'chol of derai? So they say, no, it's not called bishol on the flesh. The flesh was cooked already. It's not raw. Ain't bishol acha bishol. So some achrayim suggest that. And others say they don't think that it has the same klolim as in Hilchos Shabbos. The prohibition of there are three prohibitions by basa b'chol. There's a prohibition to cook basa b'chol. Let's say I'm the chef. I'm in the army, and I have kitchen duty. It's my responsibility to cook supper. And they tell me to cook supper, flesh with butter, flesh with milk. So even though all the people are going to eat it are non-Jews, but there's an issa to cook basa b'chala. If it's chicken with butter, so that's only basa b'chala, there are bonnets that we pass on the Shulchan Aruch. It's mutta b'bishul, and it's mutta b'hanoah. You're allowed to sell it. You're allowed to get hanoah from it, just asa b'achila. But if it's flesh with milk, then it's basa b'chala v'deraisa. So it's also all three. Also bishul, also is achila, and also b'hanoah. By mistake, you cook basa b'chala, you can't give it to the next neighbor, the goy, and tell him enjoy it. Because if I'm going to give him something, he's probably going to do me a toiva back in exchange. He'll be my Shabbos goy. So that's considered, if you give isuri hanoah to a goy, a nachri hamakiro, whom I know, I'm probably going to get back a toiva in exchange. So that's considered getting hanoah. if I give the basa b'chalav to a nochri she'ena makiro, I don't know who he is, then it's an iser of loy sechonim. You're not allowed to give a matnas chinam to a nochri. But if you give it to your next to neighbor, then it's not a matnas chinam, because you're probably going to get something back in exchange. But if it's asa b'hanoah, then it's considered getting hanoah from isuri hanoah. So if it'll only be asa b'achila, let's say by mistake, accidentally I cooked chicken with milk. So that I can give to my next, if I give it to a goy she'ena makiro, I don't know, then I'm in violation of loisa chanim. You're not allowed to give matas chinim, a matana for nothing, to a nochri. But if I give it to a nochri hamakira, to my next door neighbor nochri, who does taibis for me, he's my Shabbos guy, he does other things. He holds the, when UPS delivers a package, he'll hold the package, he'll help me carry the stuff home, whatever. The nochri does taibis to me. So then there's no violation of loisa chanim. And if it's chicken and milk, it's only asa ba'achivas, muta ba'ano. So then you're not getting any hanoah.
In the case, going back a little ways, when you spoke about milk with cooked meat, and you said there's no problem with basar b'chala, but there's a problem with the milk being basar b'chala.
Yeah, but you only violate basar b'chala if you're cooking the flesh with the cooking both. So I'm not cooking the flesh here. So some achrenim wanted to say, since on the flesh is ain bishul ahabishul, so there's no isa bishul basar b'chala. But most assume not so. Must assume that's in Hilcha Shabbos, because Malachas Mashabbos Asra Torah, you have to accomplish something by the Bishul. So you're only accomplishing if you take raw flesh and you make it edible, you make it raw lachida. But if you take cooked flesh and you warm it up, there is an accomplishment. I enjoy hot flesh better than cold flesh. But it's not the same degree of accomplishment that would have been if it would have taken raw flesh and I would have cooked it. So that's Malachas Machshavas Asra Torah. But here by Bishul Basa Mechala, many Achrayim say like this, the Pitzchei Tshuva quotes, many Achrayim say you can't apply the rule of Ein Bishul Aha Bishul. The Isa Basa Mechala, the Isa Bishul Basa Mechala means not to create Basa Mechala. So you only create it if you do a Bishul. But if you take flesh that was cooked already and it's kosher, and you mix it with milk and you cook it now, then it will be an Isa Bishul Basa Mechala of the Raisa. That's a big machlokes. Many Achrayim hold like that, that you can't apply the rule of Ein Bishul Aha Bishul. That only applies to Hilcha Shabbos. Right.
It really doesn't help any if it's partially in the rotate, because unless you take immediate action, you are mevata liso lechatchila if you want to depend on what's going to happen. Depending on the rotate to provide the shishim here, to be mevata that tipo, you have to take immediate action, otherwise you are being mevata liso lechatchila.
What do you mean take immediate action? No, some Rishonim claim, it's a question in Metzius, some claim if the chaticha is half in, submerged under the soup and half above, and the drop of milk falls on top of that, not immediately, it'll take a while. I'll just leave it by itself.
Well,
no,
you shouldn't.
But I'm not doing anything. It's happening by itself. Let's say a little chazer schmaltz falls into the food. The chazer schmaltz takes a while till it's going to be mispashet. I know in another 15 minutes the chazer schmaltz will have spread all over the whole pot and it'll be bottle b'shishim. But right now, there's no shishim. Right now it fell on top of something over here. So I can take a big ladle and take out the whole treif apart and throw the whole thing out. You're not mechuyev to. That's not called mevat l'nisa l'chatchila b'shev y'altasa. I just let it go its own course. No, that's not a nisa. That's not a nisa. On the basa b'chalav, yeah, we assume it is also. We assume the nature of the prohibition of bishul basa b'chalav means you're creating basa b'chalav, so you're not allowed to create basa b'chalav, even though the flesh was cooked already. But it's mutter. So by mixing in, by reheating the flesh with the milk, I'm creating basa b'chalav. So that's exactly the issa. The issa on Shabbos bishul is not to make it roy l'achila. Malachas b'shabbos, you're accomplishing something. But the Issa Bishul Basa Mechalav is not because you're accomplishing making the flesh edible. You're creating Basa Mechalav. That's the prohibition of Bishul Basa Mechalav, not to create, not to bring it into existence.
But if it's just early Shabbos, it wouldn't possibly be like Bishul
Basa Mechalav. If it's just meat itself. Shabbos, if the thing is fully cooked, then you put it back on top of the fire. So min ha-Torah, there's no prohibition. But with the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to because of the gzera that you may make the fire higher or lower. So that's why you have to have a lot of safeguards to make sure. So if you have a kettle of tea or you have a pot of soup and you took it off of the fire and still holding on to it, and you plan to put it back on top of the fire, so that's oida biyodo, But daita lahachse, you plan to put it back, and you have grufa k'tuma, you have a blech, and the silp is still hot, it's still way above room temperature, it's tana legamre. So when you have all of these four conditions met, it's oida biyadi, still holding on to it. In lohinich agabikarki, it didn't put it down on the table. Sometimes you hold on to the thing, yeah, I'm holding on to the pot, but it's sitting on the table. So that's no good. You have to hold on to the pot, oida biyadi, lohinich agabikarki, it's not sitting on anything. But daita lahachse, you plan to put it back, and it's lohinich tana lagamre, it's still well above room temperature, and you have a blech. So if you have all of these five conditions met, so then you're allowed to put it back on top of the blech. That's called hachazara. To return it back on top of the blech is mutter, but to do an asina mecharish, to take out from the refrigerator and put on top of the blech, that's forbidden midrabbanan. Many svardim amekel on this, they follow Chacham Ovadia, that Rabbi Ovadia say paskins like the svardish paskin from the last 100 years, that this gzera derabbanan of hachazara was only instituted if you put the pot back on top of the fire. Then there's a gzera shemi echad to be gecholim, you may fool around with the handle to make it higher or lower. What if you put the pot, you take a pot out of the refrigerator that has kugel, that has flesh, whatever, has chicken, and put it on top of the radiator? So the radiator doesn't have the source of heat. Source of heat is a boiler that has a fire below the boiler, and the steam comes up in the radiator. So since it's not agabi ha'esh, so the Gemara says then it's mutter. So Chacham Avadya follows those Svardish Poskim who hold, has nothing to do with Svardim Ashkenazim. It just happens that all the Svardish Poskim, all the Poskim who say this are all Svardish. It's not that they have a different style of psak. It happens that all of those who say this are Svardim. So they say whenever you have a blech, the pot by definition is not Agabi Hoish, because the blech is Mafsi. Okay. It's going to get hot. It's going to get burning hot because the heat is, the metal is a conductor of heat. But they hold that it's still. It's not called agabi hoish. If you put the pot on top of the fire, that's agabi hoish. Once you have a big blech, so it's already not called agabi hoish. And the Ashkenazim don't hold like that. If you have what?
Hot plate. Electric hot plate.
Electric hot plate. So those hot plates which can't be regulated higher or lower, it's either on or off.
It's on or off.
So, huh?
It's on or off.
Oh, so many poskim hold, most of the poskim hold that that's mutter. That the gezeirah derabbanan never was that the guy's going to turn on the fire. The chashash is going to make it higher or lower. He's going to fool around with the coals. So if you have a hot plate which is either on or off, it's not, can't be made higher or lower, so many, most of the Pesachim hold that it's mutter. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was a big Pesach, he held the Chumr. He held that a hot plate that you can't regulate higher or lower is only the equivalent of a blech, grufa k'tuma. And that's only enough, grufa k'tuma, when you have a blech, is only enough to be matah shehiya. If you're leaving the food on top of the fire from Erev Shabbos, so all you need is that you should have a blech. So to leave food on top of a hot plate on Erev Shabbos, that would be mutter. But to take out food from the refrigerator, put it on top of the hot plate, so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank held that that's not permissible, because it's not enough just grufa k'tuma. You have to avoid the biyada, v'lo hinecha agabi karka, v'dai t'nachse, v'lo hinecha agabi, you need all the conditions. But most of the poskim don't hold like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Most are mekel on that. If you can't regulate the hot plate at all, just a question on or off, so if it's on from before Shabbos, then there would be mekel to put it on. That's an Eretz Yisrael. That's a common heter that most people rely on.
There's another thing, like a salt on a hot tray, not a plate, glass actually, and you cannot cook on it. It just keeps up warm. It can never come to this level of vision.
That's a big question. What is the nature of this prohibition mid the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to take out the fully cooked food from the refrigerator and put it back on top of the fire? Why did they answer it? So the Chachmei Svara, the Ramban and the Rashbo and the Rif and the Ran, they're all of the opinion that the prohibition of Hachazara is that it Yesh Bishal Lacha Bishal. With the Rabbanon it is called Bishal. So then they would say, if you have a hot plate where you never cook anything, it just maintains the heat, so it doesn't look like Bishal. The old prohibition of Hachazara is Mechzikim Mevashal. It looks like you're cooking, and here it's not Mechzikim Mevashal, because nobody would ever cook anything. No one would ever try to cook on a hot plate, even if it does work. No one would ever try to cook because it may not work well. But we don't really paskin like that. We paskin like the Tosfos, that the prohibition of Hachazara is not Mechzikim Mevashal, it's Shem Yechata. Shem Yichata, it's because Shem Yichata should apply even if the thing you cannot cook over there.
What happens if the hot plate has a dial or the blech covers up the knobs? You have the hot plate and cover up the dial on the knob.
Cover up the dial, that's grufo k'tuma. But grufo k'tuma is only enough to be mata shehiya if you're leaving the food on the fire from Erev Shabbos. So then you should really cover up the fire and the knobs in the front. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, you should really cover both. But to be mata hachazara, to put the food from the refrigerator back on top of the blech on Shabbos, so the blech is not enough. You have to have all the other four conditions. See, if you don't have it, so we don't allow. Yeah.
No, the Sheikh, I want to ask you. A boy has a farm, he has parot, the chazirin. Can he take, if he takes him out on the field, on the mare, where the grass is together, to the farmer take out the chazirim, with the parot, to a field where there's grass is, to feed the hives? You know? Can he do this? To take him out the same field?
Why not? The chazir with
the parot?
Yeah. Why not? They're not going to mate.
Yeah.
No. The Gemara said there's a prohibition not to be marbia. One behemoth with another. That's only if the person does it be a dai. But if he has them grazed together, the Gemara says it's mutter. The Gemara says there's no issa.
Because they may eat the dirt of each other.
No. Behemoths. Okay, delete it. Everything
wants to. That never comes to Yatza Lettersburg, so
that
should not be a problem.
That says in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes from the Rishonim. If you leave food, take out food from the refrigerator, put it on top of the blech, in such a location that even if you leave it till after Havdalah, the left it says, the food will not become Yatzah Letters. So that says that it's Mutter. But if you're going to leave the food in such a location where if you leave it long enough, it will become Yatzah Letters, but I'm going to stand there and make sure I'm going to take it off before it becomes Yatzah Letters, so that says you're not allowed to. That says that you're not allowed to. But if you leave it in a location where even if you leave it the whole Shabbos till after the food will not become Yatzah Letters, so the Mechaber quotes the Rishonim that that's permissible.
Hachazori,
yeah.
So
you can take water from the tap and also put it on a location where if it won't become Yatzah Letters till the end of Shabbos, so then it's mutter, even cold water. You're allowed to do.
I'm not sure I understood correctly. There's a difference between a hot plate that doesn't have any knobs and a hot plate where you cover it with the knobs?
Yeah, if you have a hot plate that's either on or off, but you can't make it higher or lower, so then many poskim, or perhaps most of the poskim, say in the minig is lahakim that that's permissible. Because the whole gzeira of hachazara was not because mechzikim b'bashal. We don't really pass like that. We pass the gzeira was mishum shem yichata. He may poke around in the coals. And poking around, they were never gezer. Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva about this. They were never gezer that he may light a fire. They were only gezer he may fool around with the fire. So if there's nothing to fool around, it's a hot plate, either it's on or off, you can't make it higher or lower. So then most of the poskim hold that there never was a gzeira over there.
But if it has a dial... What am I covering them for? I'm covering them so I'm not going to poke around.
You mean if you have a stove, if you want to leave food on the stove, so then there's a chashash, you may want to leave food on the stove from Erev Shabbos.
Yeah, he's covering the knob.
So if you have a blech that you put on top of the stove because you want to leave food on Erev Shabbos, so then Rav Moshe recommends you should cover both the fire and the knobs in the front. But let's say you have a hot plate and it just has a dial to turn it on or off, and it doesn't, you can't make it higher or lower, so you don't have to cover anything. You're permitted to do hachazara also.
No, but let's say I have knobs, but I want to cover them so that I can take things from the refrigerator and put it on.
No, so to cover the knobs is equivalent to grufa k'tuma, like putting a blech to remind you not to fool around. Grufa k'tuma is only sufficient if you want to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos. That's called shehiya, to leave the food from Erev Shabbos. But to take food out of the refrigerator that's fully cooked, they put it back on top of the fire, that's called hachazara. There a blech is not sufficient. You need more. Even though it's the exact same chashash, why do we not allow to leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and cook into Shabbos? Shemi Yechata, he may poke around with the coals. Why do we not permit you to take food fully cooked out of the refrigerator, put it back on top of the fire? Also, Shemi Yechata, so how come over here a blech is sufficient? He need another four conditions in addition to the blech. So the Mishnah Brura and the Osamech both say, look in the Rabbeinu Tam Sefer HaYosher. He asks the kash and he gives the teretz. They both say the same thing. Look, so that's how we paskin, that hachazar is not because it's mechzik and mevashal. We paskin that Hashem yichata. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Sefer HaYosher explains why. When you leave a pot of food on top of the fire on Erev Shabbos, you fooled around with the knobs and you left it in such a way that it's going to be the correct heat the way you need it. So if you have a blech, we're not afraid that he's going to forget in Shem Yechata. He set the dial, he set the knobs in such a way that it's going to be taken care of. But if he's going to take the food out from the refrigerator in the middle of Shabbos and put it on top of the blech, even with a blech, but it wasn't there from before Shabbos, he's taking it out now, he may realize that he set the fire incorrectly. So he may, even with the blech, that it's a hecker, he may still forget and start fooling around with the knobs. So that's why you need more conditions. That's why you need the additional four conditions in addition to the blech.
No,
we assume that not. If you have knobs that you took off, so you can always take them, put them back on, and regulate the fire. That's like covering up the knobs. Covering up is the equivalent of grufa ktuma.
So if they build in the Shabbos mode where the knobs don't work on Shabbos, it would be okay?
How could the knobs not work on Shabbos?
Shabbos?
I mean, if I said it. There's no way. You can't push a couple of buttons and. But you push a couple of buttons and then. You push a couple of buttons and then you can use the knobs. I control. The Balabas has to control the Shabbos mode. So you just push a couple of buttons on the thing and it will be able to work on Shabbos. So that's the Gzeira. You push enough buttons, it'll work. So this is the beginning of Basa B'chalav, this Mishnah. Tipas Chalav, a drop of milk, shenafla ala chaticha, it fell on top of a piece of flesh, on top of the pile in the pot. Im yesh bo, bo means bosa chaticha. If you have shishim in the chaticha, then it's not Basa B'chalav. But if it has, im yesh bo b'nois and tam, but if you can taste the flavor of the milk in the meatball, why? Because you don't have shishim, so then it's asa. What happens if nearest Hagdera? What if he didn't realize what's going on? There's an issue. Have aim about the nisa lachatchila. This is a question. Is it really aim about the nisa lachatchila? Let's say the mother is cooking the flesh and the son wants to give his mother a heart attack. So he takes a bottle of milk and he pours two drops of milk in. Mother starts screaming. The kid says, "What's wrong? There's no nesinas tam, so there's no isa." He's not pouring chazer schmaltz in. To pour chazer schmaltz, that's treifus, same about the nisla atchila. He's pouring in kosher milk, so what can be wrong? So we assume in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to do it. Even though the milk is kosher, and even though it's not going to be nice and tam, everything is kosher. It's a kosher tup and a kosher alefel. So Rabbi Kadega has a whole tshuva, Simon Reish Zayin, and tshuva Rabbi Kadega. He discusses this. The Pischei tshuva, in the end of Pei Zayin, quotes that tshuva Rabbi Kadega. Why is it really awesome? What's wrong over here? So we say it's not allowed. We say it's not allowed. So here's a shaila. A drop of milk fell on top of the top meatball. So the din is you have to calculate whether you have shishim in that meatball. The rest of the pot is not mitzdarev to be mevatel the shishim. Either because the whole piece of meat, none of the piece of meat is submerged under the liquid, everything is above, it's on top of the upper pieces. Or even if half of the piece is in the liquid, we assume it won't be mispashit in there. So what if now, what if he stirs the whole pot together and now the drop of milk that was on top of the upper piece of meatball, now it's on the bottom and everything, and now for sure you have shishim. So then you have to calculate. Now you have to measure whether you have shishim in the whole pot, not in that one meatball. So this is a discussion of Shulchan Aruch. Nearest akter is mutter lachatchila. I know that there's a drop of milk on the top meatball and I'm mixing it up. And I know I'm a battle of the shishim. We are so you're not allowed. It means he found out later. He didn't realize b'shas mais. So they have a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe the kid should pour two drops of milk in. We assume that's a mevatel nisa lachatchila. But if the milk fell in on top of the meatball, and you want to save the whole pot. So some achronim want to say in that case, there's no violation of a mevatel. Niras HaGdeira is not only B'dievet if he was Menayar the G'deira. Some want to say it's even Mutar L'Hatchila to be Menayar the G'deira. That fell in already, so that's not... No, it takes a couple of seconds till the milk is mispasha. It doesn't happen in a split second.
If I don't mix it, over a period of time, that piece, the whole piece of meat becomes, then that shish begins, that whole piece of meat.
Right, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss here. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Yeah.
No, not the washing. She said
before it had a chance to spread through the whole piece, yeah. So now... Yeah. So now the Gemara has a famous discussion. There is a machlokes hatanoim in the middle of Psachim and in the middle of Masachas Nazir, Tanoim, and here it's a machlokes habayi v'rove, where the tam ki iker is a din d'oraisa, din d'rabbanan. These like this. Let's say you buy food that has no hashgacha. I'm not talking you buy meat that has no hashgacha. That's nevela. I buy a cake. So how much chazas malt could there be already in the cake? 51% of the cake is going to be chazas shmaltz. Or buy candies that have no hashgacha. 51% is going to be treif. A little bit is going to be treif. So why don't you say it's batel b'roi? We have a din that when two things get mixed in together, so whichever is less than 50% loses its identity in the mixture and it becomes ice. B'di'evit. B'di'evit. Let's say a goyish company.
No, but it was made l'chadchila.
Okay, so let's say different. Not adav. A goyish company manufactures whatever bread. So we're not allowed to buy bread from a Goyish company that doesn't have hashgacha. Maybe they use lard. How much lard did they use already? The lard is not shmir on the surface. The lard was nivla into the bread. But you have 51% as kosher bread, and less than 50% is treif. Say pitul b'roi. So the answer is no. Since the lard, or since the non-kosher ingredient is nice and tam, it succeeds in giving a flavor. If you have shishim against it, it's taka not nice and tam. It's taka batel b'shishim. But if it does, if you don't have shishim against it, and it succeeds in giving a flavor, so then the din is that tam is ki iker, even though the chazer shmaltz is less than 50%. But since it succeeds in giving the taste, giving the flavor to the whole mixture, I consider that tam ki iker. As if the thing is really there in person. As if the chazer shmaltz, as if I'm eating a chunk of chazer. Tam ki iker.
But the bittel v'rov is only say yavesh v'yavesh, no?
No, that's that. There are two kinds of bittel. There's one kind of bittel v'rov. I bought three salamis, two salamis for the family. I bought two kosher salami, one non-kosher salami for the workers. And then I removed all the labels. And now I forgot which salami is which. So I have three salamis, two are kosher, one is treif. And I can't identify which is which. So that's a taruvus of yavish biyavish. So the din is that it's min b'mina, it's all flesh. Yavish biyavish is batel b'roif. Chad b'trei is batel b'roif. If you have one trey for salami with two kosher salamis, it's batel b'roif. Then you don't need shishim.
You can only eat two. But you can only eat two.
Okay. You shouldn't eat all three. Okay,
so all three salamis could be
eaten?
No. No, that's a discussion. You shouldn't eat all three. You should only eat two. Because you know the vada, one is treif, yeah. But then there's another din of bitl b'roiv of lach b'lach. The pasuk has, the pasuk says, on Yom Kippur, the kohen gadol has to do all the avoda from A to Z. He does everything. So he shechts the par kohen gadol, and he shechts the soil Hashem. And then at one point he has to mix the dam. V'nolakach ha'proin midam ha'par midam ha'soyer. When he does the hazoyas and the kodesh ha'kadoshim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it does separately. That's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then he does the soyer separately. Then he goes out in front of the Parochas, Achz Lamayla B'Shev Lamata, Dama Par, Dama Soyer separately. Then Ma'arvin Lekranis. Then he mixes the two together. And the Chumash says, Veloka Chakoy, Midama Par, Midama Soyer. He mixes it together. Then he does the Hazoyas on the four Karnas HaMizbeach. That's when the Gemara calls Ma'arvin. You mix the dam together, Lekranis. Then you do Sheva Hazoras al Tahara Shalom Mizbech. Do another seven Hazoras on top of the roof of the Mizbech. So the Gemara was bothered. All the Tanoi were bothered with Akasha. How does he ever fulfill that? What is going to be exactly 50-50? Dama Par, it's impossible. A par is a big fat animal, a sor is a skinny mulling. So Mistama, if you hold the cup this is not metal. A klisharis has to be made from metal, has to be mekudesh. Let's say this will be a klisharis. So if you hold the cup under the neck, after you do, the kohen does the shechita. Kohen Gadol does everything on Yom Kippur. He does the shechita, he does the kabbalah, he does the halacha, he does the zrika. So he shechts a par, and he has to hold the klisharis under it. So how long do you hold it? 3 seconds, whatever. So he's going to hold the same cup for 3 seconds under the neck of the sawyer. He's going to get much less dam. How can he calculate? He's going to hold it under the par, he's going to hold it for 1 second under the sawyer, he's going to hold it for 5 seconds. Still not going to be 50-50. The likelihood that it's going to be exactly 50-50, dam upon dam, is one chance in 5 billion. How is that possible? So it's either going to be rive. Normally it's going to be way more than 50%. Hadavi yadua, shedam upon merubah midam sawyer. Or b'mikre, may turn out that the dam asor, because he held it under the sawyer, under the neck of the sawyer for 10 seconds. He held the cup under the neck of the par for 1 second. So it'll be dam asor, would be meruba b'nam par. How is it physically possible that it should be exactly 50-50? So all the Tanaim were bothered with that kasha. How does the Kohen Gadol ever fulfill this mitzvah of lokachachem dam apar dam asor? One is going to be a roiv, one is going to be a mir. There's going to be bottled b'roiv. So Rabbi Yehuda learns that from that pasuk that lach b'lach min b'minoi is there's no bittel. Bim b'min is b'mashu. A din derais. And Rashi paskins like that din of Rabbi Yehuda. Min b'min is b'mashu by lach b'lach. Why the three salamis, two kosher salamis, one trefer salami? That's yavish b'yavish. So that taruv is yavish b'yavish. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that there's bittel b'roiv. But if you have a taruv is of lach b'lach, min b'min, dam b'dam, mayim b'mayim, shemen b'shemen. Some is kosher, some is trefer. So it doesn't help shishim. Doesn't help even mashu. That's a din deraisa mashu. The minimum mashu. And Rashi paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. Tosis in Chulin and in Avodah Zarah, all the Masechtas, Tosis disagrees with the Rashi. Psachim, Tosis doesn't agree with that Rashi. Tosis says we paskin like the Chachamim. The minimum alach balach is bottled. So what do you do with the pasuk? The pasuk says, well, look, it's going to be.
Torah doesn't give a
shear.
It says they have to be mixed together.
Right.
However, it's mixed together, whether it's 40, 50, 60, 40. The Torah it's mixed together.
Right, but so it's never going to be. It's never going to be 50-50.
It doesn't have to be. Torah doesn't require. Torah requires that you mix it.
So the Tanoim were bothered with the Kasha. He's not in. But he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. The mitzvah says you have to take.
The Damasar, the Damasar,
whichever one is going to be less than 50% is considered as if it lost its identity. So
it's
ice. Okay.
The Torah doesn't give a shear for that.
I would have said like you also, but all the Tanoim assume that's so. I'm asking if you. I don't know. I mean, we don't understand what was bothering them. That's the mitzvah bekach. I don't know. So all the Tanoim were bothered with this kash. The Rabbi Yehuda says, Zedman Fandan, that min b'min alach b'lach is b'mashu hu adin derais. And the Chachamim disagree. They say, and we, Tosfos says, we paskin like the Chachamim. It's not b'mashu. So what do you do with the pasuk? So they say, "Na mikan la olin." Shem mevatlan says that dam is supposed to be ola al gabi hamizbeach. He's supposed to be zorik the dam on the mizbeach. That's a din, an exception to the rule. Olim anap mevatlan says that. But if you have dam that's osur and dam that's muta, not a case in the chumash. You have treifer dam and kosher dam. You have shemen that's treif, shemen that's kosher. Any other case of taruv is lach belach meimimino would be bottle beroiv. So there are two dinim of taruv. It says a taruv is bitl beroiv of yavish beyavish chabitrei. Then there's a din of taruv is lach belach. There's also bottle chabitrei. Dama parma dama sar. One is meruba, one is 51%, one is 49%. So mikra din, the one that's in the miut, less than 50% is going to be bottle. The exception to the rule is if it's when you're talking about things karba gabi mizbeach, you can't apply tam kiker. But if I'll drink it, I'll taste the flavor. What do you mean drink it? They're not talking about macholas asuras. The halach of tam kiker, if I can taste the flavor of the trefer thing that's in the miut, that's less than 50%, if I can taste it, I'll buy the trefer cake from the store. So I'll be able to taste a little chazer schmaltz there. So then you can say, tam kiker, you're talking about iser achila. When you eat it, you'll taste the flavor. So that's a din tam kiker. But when you're talking about being zurich dam on the mizbeach, or something like that, you're not talking about an issue of achila at all. So then you don't apply tam kiker. So the Gemara has a machloikis hatanaim, this din of tam kiker, despite the fact that the chazer schmaltz and the trefer candies and the trefer cookies and all the everything except for flesh, everything except for nevela flesh. All the non-kosher products that they sell in the store, It's not more than 50% non-kosher ingredients. It's always less than 50%. It's a little bit, but gives nasina tam. Is that a din deraisa, or is that only a din derabonim? So that's a machlekes hatanoi. So Rashi claims that it's a machlekes abai v'rava anardav, and whenever there's a machlekes abai v'rava, we paskin like rava, except for six cases, yal kigam. So Rashi says this is not one of the six cases. So the mele the din should be like rava, and rava holds tam kikar, lav deraisa, it's only derabonim. So the mele that leads Rashi to a lot of kulas. And Taisus says everything by Rashi is topsy turvy. Rashi paskin min b'minim b'mashahu, like Reb Yudah, we don't accept it. And Rashi paskins like Rava, the tam kikar lav deraisa, said we don't accept that Rashi either. We paskin tam kikar is deraisa.
Is it mashahu? I don't see what you're saying with mashahu. Reb Yudah said, what are you saying with mashahu? What mashahu
is what? If you have damapar and the damasar mixed in together, so one is going to be way more than the other. It's going to be one chance in 5 billion that it's going to be 50-50. It's not going to be 50-50. Not going to be. So how do you ever fulfill the mitzvah? How can you do it? Marvin the Kohen. So he said what I would have said also. That's what it says in the pasuk. So you do. What do you want? So the Tanoim were bothered. They were all bothered with the same kasha. How do you fulfill the din? Whichever is going to be less than 50% is kemisha eino, because it's a bottle lach balach is bottle taruvis chad betray. Chad betray doesn't mean twice as much. You don't need 67%. Against 33%. Doesn't mean chad betray twice as much. Chad betray means 51% against 49%. Or you have 50.1 against 49.9. So that's also going to be chad betray. Whatever one is slightly more than the other one, that's chad betray. Some achrayim say you need kefil, but the pashtus says that you don't need kefil.
What's the mechanism of lach to lach? In other words, supposing I have one drop versus 10 drops, okay, of tarfus versus something, which is kosher. When I add that one drop, it becomes 11 drops, all considered kosher. Yeah.
If it doesn't give nesinas tam.
No, not nesinas.
Yeah, it all becomes kosher.
But supposing therefore you keep on dripping it. You put one drop, then you put another drop. At each stage, you're increasing the amount of mutter.
Right, so that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch between the Shach and the Pri Chodosh. What if you reach the point that you no longer have a roiv of heter against the Yisa? So the Shach says, still, when I put in one drop into the 10, so it became heter. Put in another drop, becomes heter. It keeps on becoming heter. Heter remains heter. And the Pri Chodosh says, what are you talking about? It says in Yerideya, let's say Chazeshmaltz fell into a pot of soup. And it's bottle b'shishim. It's a bottle b'shishim, you're allowed to eat it. But if you put the soup in the refrigerator, so all the schmaltz will rise to the top. So that's epshel of error. If you have an easy, if you go to a chemistry lab, and some of them will be able to remove, they'll use some kind of a instrument, yeah? To remove everything. So that's not called epshel of error. But if you put it in the refrigerator, that's anyone can do that. A layman can do that. You don't need an expert. So that's considered nikar ha'isa. Whenever it's very easy to separate the treifas from the kosher, so that's not called b'taruvus. Taruvus means that it's not nikar. The isa is not nikar b'mkomo. So the p'chadosh taina is, if I know for a fact that I have now, I started with 10 kosher drops and one treifa drop. So if I know that now I have 20 drops already, and I no longer have a roiv of the kosher drops, I had 10 kosher drops and 9 drops of treifas, so it's still both broke. Once I know I have 20 drops and it's 50-50, so the jig is up. So that's like nikar ha'isa. I know I no longer have a roiv heter, so that he considers that nikar ha'isa. And the shach disagrees. It's not nikar. He can't identify which is which. The shach is not called nikar ha'isa. Yeah. So Abayi argues like this. Abayi claims, I'm going to prove that those tanoim are right. The tanoim in psochem and in nozir, those tanaim are right to hold that tam kiker is a din deraisa. That even though you have a roiv of heter against the miyot aviser, but if you eat the food, you can taste the flavor of the treifas, so that prevents it from becoming bottle minatura. How does he know? So he argues, how is it ever gemolt the institution of basa b'cholov? You have a piece of flesh, and you cooked it with milk. Fine. So now, I take the flesh, how much milk do you pour in already? I take the flesh out and I put it on the table. it's mistame, over 85% of it is flesh. A little bit flavoring of milk here and there. Not that I see white particles of milk, I can wash it off under the faucet. If you see the white particles, so hold it under the faucet and wash it off. I washed off all the milk, there's no milk. But there's the flavor of the milk is there. Mm-hmm. But there's way more than 50% of it is flesh, and it's less than 50% is milk. So how is it ever gemolt? How can the whole prohibition of basar b'chalav and the chumash ever exist? Whichever one is going to be derived. Let's say you have fleshig schmaltz and you have milk. So if the fleshig schmaltz is 51% and the milk is less than 51%, so there's no milk. The milk disappeared. And if the milk is 51% and the fleshig schmaltz is 49%, so the schmaltz disappeared. So you never have a case of basar b'chalav. Like they were bothered with the kasha. How can you fulfill the pasuk v'loka chakoy midam aparim dam asar? It's never going to happen unless it's 50-50. There's one chance in 5 billion it's going to be. How can you ever have basar b'chalav deraisa unless it's 50-50? It's never going to happen. How can it be exactly 50-50? So either the flesh is going to be derived and the milk is going to be derived. So whichever one is derived. So the miut disappeared. It's kemisha eino. So from the fact that there exists an institution of basar b'chalav, Abai is saying, not I prove in the Mishnah, I prove in the Pasuk and Chumash, in Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas HaShavua. It says, you're not allowed to have basar b'chalav. In this week's Sedra. So Abai says, Taima v'loi ma'mashoi, if you have a roiv heter, in a miut iser b'tarubis, but the miut iser succeeds in giving tam, he says, it must, in general, in Kol HaTarkul, it must be a din deraisa. He's taking a stand like those Tanoim. Bialma, in all other cases. How does he know in all other cases? I can prove it from basar b'chalav. If you'll accept the other position, that tam ki yikir is only a din b'drabanan, why don't you learn that from the whole institution of basar b'chalav? It's always based on tam ki yikir. Either the flesh is going to be less than 50% or the milk is going to be left. So what can you possibly say? We have a klal, mamatzinu. Whenever you have a din of chumash in one place, we expand it. Any case that's similar, you apply the din also. Like you have Abravis Nizik in the first Mishnah, Babakam, Ashar, Rabar, Ramaba, Behever. So the Gemara says, each one of the Avis Nizikin has a tolda, and tolda same kayetim, and the toldas have the same din. Not only if you dig a bar in the middle of the street, if you leave a banana peel and someone slips and it gets hurt. Why? The chumash only talks about a bar. But who are the Nami? The Toldas have the same properties as the others, Tchilas, Asiyas, and Anezik. If it's sufficiently similar, so then it has the same din. That's the Midah of Mamatzinu. That's the Midah of Mamatzinu. So he argues, why don't you learn that from basar b'chalav? Basar b'chalav is the Chalamol Tam Ki Yikir. It's not Gemolta otherwise, it's not possible otherwise. Why don't you want to learn that from basar b'chalav to Li'almo, to all the other cases of Kala Terkula? So you have an argument. We have a rule, you can't learn out from a chiddush. The chiddush, the whole premise of Mamatzinu, we mention a lot of times, it says in the Chumash, Atzi Shita Momdim. Next week said, when you build a Mishkan, so you have to use boards of wood, Omdim Kederaki Dilosim, the way they grew on the tree, standing up, vertical. If you're going to put the boards upside down, the way it grew upside down, and put it sideways, so it's not Gedar Kedilasam, it's not acceptable. So the Chumash only writes Gedar Kedilasam, Atzi Shitim Omdim, and the Mishkan that was once in the history of the world, that was Ahiru Ashur. The Beis HaMikdash, there were no Krushim, so the whole din didn't apply. How do we know you have to hold with the Pitim up, and how do we know you have to hold the Lulav up and the Hadassim up, based on that Pasuk? What does that Pasuk got to do with us? So the answer is, you make a Mamatzinu. The Torah tells us in one place, that you, whenever you need a natural item that grows from the ground, you have to use it. Keder kedilosim. So from that you derive the kol ha-tarkul. There aren't too many other cases kol ha-tarkul. So the dalad minim is a case. They ask achrenim ask a kasha. Why don't you apply it to schach? The schach has to be gedule karka. So why not say you're only yaitzev with schach if it's. So they have a whole pilpul about that kasha. How do you answer that kasha? But that's an example of a mamatzinu. The Chumash writes a din in one place. We assume all the dinim in the Torah fit into one big pattern. Everything fits in. There are really three different patterns. We spoke in different cases. Dinim Amanis is one system. Tumah Vitar is another system. And Isa Behet is a third system. So the Gemara says, Isa Mitumah Lo Yafinon. And Mamayna Mi'isura Lo Yafinon. These are three different areas. But within the area of Mamayna, Dinim Amanis, everything fits into one mosaic, one pattern. Within the area of Isa Behet, everything fits in. So that's what Abai says. Why don't you learn that from basar b'chalav is given? Bas b'chala, by definition, has to be tamkik. It's never going to happen. It's going to be 50-50. Of course, the flesh is going to be much more than the milk. So why is it ever us? It's obviously tamtika. So why don't you want to learn out? My time, mi basa b'chala, my time, aloy gambina. Why does anybody want to say tamkik or is lav derais? He doesn't want to learn out from basa b'chala. Why not? Why not? I learn a mamasina. The answer is because chidishu, chidish means adover aseser es haklal. Chidish means an exception to the rule. Chidish is a technical term. By us, we usually use the word, the term chidish means something I would never think of on my own. You need the chumash to tell me. But that's not, in the Gemara, the word chidish means something. It means it's an exception to the rule. That's called the chidish. For example, the Gemara says, if two Edom say he was Mechal Shabbos, two Edom say they're lying, he was not Mechal Shabbos, that's trade, right? So you don't know who's telling the truth. But if two Edom say Hagodah Seidus and two Edom amazim them, so then you believe the second Edom. So the Gemara says, Eid Zaymim is a chidish, because it really should be trey or trey. So it means it's an exception to the rule. So here the Gemara calls, if something is an exception to the rule, means it doesn't fit into the pattern. So you have, Basa B'chalav is a parsha in the Chumash, it has 1,001 dinim. All you need is if one din is a chidish, then you don't know if anything in Basa B'chalav fits in with the rule. So then you have no right to learn from Basa B'chalav, La'alma, Tekola Tarakula, that Tam Kiyika will always be their eyes. So by Basa B'chalav, it's clear that Tam Kiyika is their eyes. You never have Basa B'chalav without saying Tam Kiyika is their eyes. So Abai says, why should anyone want to say, these Alkadaitach, their Rabbanon, if you want to think like the other Tanoim, the Tam Kiyika is only their Rabbanon, why don't they want to learn out from Basa B'chalav, my time alai gar, meaning because the Chidishu, because they hold Basa B'chalav is a dabar asari sasaklal, it's an exception to the rule, so it doesn't fit into the system. If it's a yotzim and a klal, avagav the lekanos and tam nami. So we should ask the Basa B'chalav, even if the milk doesn't succeed, even if you have shishim in the flesh against the milk, I should say, even if it's not nice and tam, it should also be yotzim. If you say it doesn't fit into the rules of kol tarkula, so who says that you need nesina stam? So Abai is convinced that those tanoim are right. The Tam Kiyikir is a din derais. Amalei Rabbe, so Rabbe disagrees. He says, no, that Basa B'chalav is only prohibited if the flesh succeeds in giving flavor to the milk, and the milk succeeds in giving flavor to the flesh. And if you have Shishim against the other one, there's no Basa B'chalav. That's obvious. Because Derech Bishul Asa Torah, the Torah only prohibits if you cooked it together. What's the whole word of cooking together? Cooking means that one is going to give Nesinas Tam into the other one. But he says, Basa B'chalav is a Chiddush. Basa B'chalav is a Chiddush. The Gemara is going to have to discuss what the Chiddush is. That's what Tosis discussed. Dima Masu, the Chiddush. What's so much of a Yotzim and a Klala Basa B'chalav? That's the Gemara Psochim. The Tosis quotes in the Gemara Psochim and another. Tosis discuss what is the Chiddush of Basa B'chalav. So Rashi learns the Machlekes Abai V'Rove. Abai holds Tam Kiyika as their Eis. And Rove, whom we should paskin like, Dingzach with Abaye, and he holds Tam Kiyika as Lav Derais. So we should paskin like Rove. The Tam Kiyika Lav Derais. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos Omar Rove. Tosfos says, it doesn't imply that Rove disagrees with Abai Halacha Maisi holds that Tam Kiyika as Lav Derais. No. Dichuya B'Yalmahu. Rove is Dingzach, the Mehocha Lech Alamela. Your argument is not a valid argument. Abai wants to learn out from Basa B'Cholav. The Kolotarkul. So Rabbi says maybe Basa B'chalav is a Yetz Menaklal. But Rabbi agrees with Tam Kiyika there. I said from other psukim, what does the Torah have to say? Kasha the trefa kalim that you got for Midian. What's going to happen already if you cook kosher soup in a trefa pot? How much trefus is going to come out from the walls of the pot into the soup? A little bit. They'll give it. It's not going to be more than 50%. It'll be a little bit if anything comes out. So from Hagolah, from the requirement for Hagolah, you can learn out that Tam Kiyika
Derais. What does Dichuy mean? What's attached to
Dichuy? It Dingsach. His Matcha Abai is Hachoch. Abai proved, Abai was proving Tam Kiyika Derais from the whole institution of Basa B'chalav. Rabbi's Matcha, your proof is not a valid proof. But he never argued on the Halacha. He says, Rabbi's masking with Abai that Tam Kiyika is Derais. He's just Matcha, his Hachoch. He says, you can't really prove it from the way you proved it. Okay. We'll have to continue. The next 2 weeks, I won't be in America. I'm going to be in Eretz Yisrael and then in Europe. So I won't be able to give Shiurim till after Purim. I won't be able to after Purim. Purim is on Sunday. Another 2 weeks. So I'll be the Tuesday night after Purim. I'll be back. Okay. Amen. 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 And today's Sedra, Mishpatim, comes right after Parshas Yisro. So Parshas Yisro ends off with the din of building a Mizbeach. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim. Why do you have Mishpatim immediately following Mizbeach? So this is the source for the halacha that we know that the Sanhedrin has to meet in the Beis HaMikdash. Their office was in the Lishkas HaGozes. That was one of the rooms, one of the side rooms in the Azara. The Gemara says the Lishkas HaGozes was half in the Azara. It was a big room. Half of it was in the Azara. And half was in the Harabais, half was out of the Azara. So half of it had Kedusha's Azara, you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. So the Sanhedrin had to sit in a semicircle in the half that was Chutz L'Azara. And whoever would walk into the other half of the room had to remain standing. And Yeshiva B'Azara, half of it was B'Kodesh. Kodesh in the sense of Azara, half of it was B'Chol, it was Harabais, wasn't Azara. Had two openings, right. One opening, if it only had one opening, so whatever it opens into, either Azara or Harabais, the whole room would have that status. Because it had an opening into the Harabais, an opening into the Azara, so we say half and half. That half that was in the Azara had the din of Azara. So where do you know this from? That you have to have the Sanhedrin sitting as close as possible to the Mizbeach. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim and the Mechiltas based on these psukim. You have to have the Sanhedrin. Ela mishpatim shetasim lefneim is the Shivim Zekeinim. You should tell the Shivim Zekeinim the dinim. And this is written right next to the Mizbech. There should be as close to the Mizbech as possible. Ma pitom, why did they have to be so close to the Mizbech? So the Ramban explains, because the psokim of the Sanhedrin are binding on all of Klal Yisrael. Everyone has to follow their psak. Why do you have to follow their psak? So there are those who think, like Rashi writes on Chumash, you have to follow the Sanhedrin. Even if the Bez made a mistake, the Psak is binding. So the Pashta says that that's not correct. If the Bez made a mistake, the Psak is not binding. And Rashi doesn't mean that. It can't be. The first Mishnah in Hurriya says, if the Bez Nagadol made a mistake, the Psak is not binding. So why is the Psak of the Bez Nagadol binding? Because we assume they're not making a mistake. Yeah, but they're only human beings. Human beings always make mistakes. Everybody, Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. This principle of infallibility came from the Avodah Zarah. It's not in our religion. We have Rabbanim who sin. We have Rabbanim who make mistakes. We have Rabbanim who sin. We don't have such a klal. No one by us is infallible. Everyone is a human being. Everyone can sin. Everyone can make a mistake. So why is the Psak of the Bez Nagadol binding? Not because it's binding even in Arab, because we assume that it's correct. How can you make such an assumption that it's correct? So the answer is they have to meet in the Azara in the hope, as close as possible to the Mizbech, in the hope that there will be a Siyaita Dishmaya, the Shechina should assist them in paskening the Shabbos. Yeah, but this is only good on, the Ramban HaChumash says like that, but this is only good on the Sanhedrin. They have to meet in the Azara. What if you have a rabbi in New York City? Paskens the Shailan Basa Bechala, Paskens the Shailan Hilchas Nida, Hilchas Kashrus. So why do you have the right to assume that he didn't make a mistake? He's not sitting near the Azara. Where do you assume that he has a divine assistance with the Ashuras, Ashchina, with the Siyaita Rishmaya? So the answer is the Gemara in the beginning of Saita. We learned the Gemara. Gemara says, how long you have to have Kinu Yastira in order for a Saita to be Asura Labai? How long does the Stira have to be? Long enough to do a Maisa's Nur. So the Gemara says, how long is that? Each Tana gives a different shear. So one Tana who's giving a shear is Ben Azai. So the Gemara says, he was a Bocher. He never got married. What is he talking about? How does he know how long it takes? So the Gemara says, either he got married and he got divorced. That's one suggestion. He married Rabbi Akiva's daughter and got divorced. The other answer, the Gemara says, Soid Hashem Li'Reyev. We assume that a psak of a honest goodness, Talmud Chacham, is binding if he's a Yerei Shamayim. So then the Pasuk says in Tilim, Soid Hashem Li'Reyev, Risa Lohadiyam. We assume that the Talmid HaChamim have a divine assistance in paskening the Shailas. They tell over the story about the Noida B'Yehuda, that they once brought a Shaila of Hilchas Treifas from the slaughterhouse, and he started to look up the Shaila Yerideh. He kept on flipping the pages back and forth. He couldn't find anything, and then he slammed shut the Yerideh and he said, the Shaila is a fake, there's no Shaila, you made it up. And he kept on pressuring and screaming at them till he admitted that they made it up. So they asked him, how did you have the Ruach HaKodesh to know that they made up the Shaila? They punctured a hole in an organ. This was an Yehuda who was first elected the rabbi in the big city in Prague. So they would start him whenever they appointed a rabbi in any city. And you have the rabbis start him for and against the rabbi. So he knew that the people who came with the shayla were not from his chassidim. They wanted their nephew to be their relative, the cousin, whatever, to be appointed the rabbi in the city. So they knew Yerideya. So they punctured. Usually you can tell whether the puncture in the organ was made while the animal was alive or after. If it happened while the animal is alive, there's going to be a lot of blood over there. If it happened after the animal is dead, there's not going to be any accumulation of blood. So these chevra punctured an organ in a way that they knew it's not described in Yerideya at all. They knew Yerideya. So they punctured an organ, and they put on a whole bluff. They put on a whole fraud. They put a little blood over there to make believe that the organ was punctured while the animal was alive. And they came with some of the chassidim of the rabbi to show the rabbi does know Yerideya, because they knew that the shayla doesn't appear in Yerideya. So that Rabbi Yehuda felt his initial instinctive reaction was, if it doesn't, it's not discussed, so it's kosher. Any animal is kosher until proven treifa. This puncture on this organ is not discussed in Yerideya, so it's kosher. But he felt very uncomfortable, and he said, he always felt the divine assistance whenever he paskin the shayla. He always felt very comfortable in paskining the shayla. So he opened up the Yerideya, started mishing the pages. He knew he was not going to find anything. He knew what it says in the Yerideya. The case was not described. Kept on mishing to try to come up with an explanation. Why does he feel so uncomfortable paskining the shayla? So he came to the conclusion that he's only given this divine assistance, Sod Hashem Lireyav, if it's relevant. The Baruch Shalom doesn't give us the Yatir Shema if it's not relevant. Why could it not be relevant? It came with a shayla. So he figured out, Mistama, these were the people who didn't want me to be appointed the rabbi in the first place. So he realized they must have made up the shayla on their own. So that's when he slammed shut the other day. He said, you made up the shayla. It doesn't really exist. That's what we really assume, that the psalkim of Talmid HaChachamim are binding if they're Yirei Shemayim. Then we apply the klal, Sod Hashem Lireyav. We don't believe that the Baruch Shalom is going to make, let's say, the Talmid Chacham has to be a knowledgeable person. By the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they used to believe in the oracles. So maybe by the Galochim, they believe that the Pope is infallible, so whatever comes out of his Talmidic mouth is Kodesh Kadoshim. By us, we don't believe in an oracle. If a rabbi is a nice fellow, a nice friendly guy, but he doesn't know Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't know Gemara, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to make a miracle, he's not going to make a nice nigla. So the rabbi has to be a knowledgeable person, that he has to be a Yirei Shemayim, Sod Hashem Lireyav. Has to be an honest person. You have a dishonest rabbi, he knows what psak the balabas wants to hear. This balabas never likes any kulas. He's going to make believe it says in Yerideya L'chumra, because he's looking for a chumra, he's looking for a kula. So I'll tell him it says in Yerideya L'chumra. You have to have an honest rabbi. If you ask a person who's not honest, just going to give you a psak based on political considerations. But one of the considerations is, has to be a Yirei Shemayim. Otherwise, this miracle of Sod Hashem Lireyav is not going to be promised. He has to be a humble person also. The Gemara says that in the many disputes between the Bisham and the Bisilil, we usually, Ruba de Ruba, be passing like the Bisilil. The Gemara says, why? Number one, because they were in the majority, Acharam Lahatas. There were many more Bisilil than Bisham. Number two, because they were Avisanim, because they were more humble than the Bisham. So just because they're more humble, so therefore they should be zeicher that we should paskin like them. So the answer is no. The person who's more humble stands a better chance of being mevar the emes. A person who's a knacker, who thinks highly of himself, he's going to make up his mind before he even hears what the shayla is, and he's not going to have the patience to, not going to have the gedul to listen what someone else, a possibility that someone else is going to say. So whoever is more humble stands a better chance of being masik the psak aloha correctly. So when a person asks a shayla, you have to make sure you're asking one who has all of these qualities. But one of them is, he should be a Yirei Shemayim to be zecher to this pasuk, the haftacha of Sod Hashem the Yirei. Okay, so again, I'll be away in Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks. The next year will be after Purim. Amen.